In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, like I said, we're in the middle of a series that I've entitled sort of Into the Promised Land, or From the Desert Land to the Promised Land. It's all about how God's leading us out of the desert places of our life, the wilderness places of our life, into His promises, into His abundant, full life that He wants us all to have, not as only as individuals, but as a church, into a life that God has said is ours. The key question I guess we always need to ask is, okay, then how? How do we get from here to there, individually and as a church? And so we've been looking at these first chapters of Joshua, where God is leading His people out of a literal wilderness, of a literal desert, into His literal promised land, one that He had made for generations prior, but of which they were finally about to partake. What steps did He take? How did God do this? And we've been looking into these first chapters, and the first thing that God told us to do, told Joshua to do, was to turn the page. Moses was dead. The past is the past. You can't go back. You got to go forward. Quit looking in the past. Trust the promise. Then he went on to encourage Joshua and the people of Israel. He says, you can't be timid. You got to be bold in this stuff. That's the second lesson we got. Following takes a lot of courage. It isn't easy. In fact, three times God told Joshua, be bold and courageous. Be bold and courageous. Remember, we talked about courage being an attitude, not a feeling. Fear is the feeling. And that truth that was emphasized last week as we shared the story of Rahab, a truth that was encouraging us to have faith, to trust. Do we really believe in the promises of God? Do we really believe that He will deliver us, even if we're not worthy of that deliverance? Do we really believe that God will enter into the circumstances of our life and make a difference? Is He really there? Do we know, in the words of Paul in Romans 8:28, that in all things God works together for good for those who love Him and who have been called according to His purpose? Do we know that? Or do we just read it? Joshua and the Israelites were camping along the banks of the Jordan River, waiting for instructions on what to do next. God had promised them the land across the river, the land flowing with milk and honey. We'd heard that report a generation ago. We heard the report again from the spies that had returned from Jericho. The land where they would be able to live in peace and prosperity. But at the beginning of chapter 3, if you've read that chapter, it all seems a long, long way off. In fact, it seems impossible. After all, they were on one side of the river. The promised land was on the other side of the river. And in the middle, there was a raging flood. A raging flood. No feasible way to get across. By the end of chapter 3, all that was settled. All that had changed. They had crossed the Jordan River and were ready for the next step into the promised land. So how did it all happen? Well, the first thing I want you to notice is there's obstacle. There was an obstacle. There's always obstacles. Obstacles will always stand between us and the promised life that God desires to give us. That's part of the world we live in. Maybe it's our health, maybe it's our weight, maybe it's a financial problem or relationship problem. Maybe it's no job or need a better job. Maybe it's an addiction, a bad habit, a struggle with some sin that just keeps coming up and coming up. Whatever the specifics, And there's plenty of obstacles. Whatever the specific obstacle that you might be dealing with, it's real. The obstacle is real. And it's in your life. And it's bothering you. And it stands between you and your dreams. It stands between you and what God has promised for you. Obstacles are an inevitable part of this world. They're part of the fall. And you can expect to find them in every turn along of the road as long as you live. They're always going to be there. You're never going to get to a point in your life where you don't have obstacles. We like to think we will, but you never will. Challenges to face. You know, someone once said, every path has its puddles. I thought that's pretty cool. Every path has its puddles. And some of those puddles are big, aren't they? But just because the obstacles are inevitable, we can't let them overcome us. Because these obstacles have a purpose. I can't count the number of times I've heard people say, or even thought myself, why does this thing have to be in my life? You ever said that? Why can't God just make this problem disappear? Well, there's a reason why. There's a reason why. All the time knowing that he could, but he doesn't. Why? Because he has a purpose for that obstacle. He has a purpose for that thorn in the flesh, as Paul called it. He has a purpose. And all things will work for the good of those who love him. Purpose with a promise. Look at verse 1. Early in the morning, Joshua and the Israelites set out from Shittim, and they went to the Jordan, where they camped before crossing over. So here they are, Joshua, the Israelites, camped in front of this flooded river. They didn't seem to have a crisis of faith, did they? We don't hear that they, oh my goodness, look at that river. We don't hear any of that in these verses. They weren't wrapped up in debating whether they should give up and turn back, or maybe we should come back next fall or next spring or whatever, whenever the river's not so high. They were just waiting for instructions from God on how to proceed. And that's exactly how you and I need to approach every obstacle in our life. Obstacles are going to happen. Okay, what's new? No big new there. Now, how do we get through them? So let's wait. When something stands between you and God, you and the promised blessing of God, you should say, okay, God, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to handle this? What steps do you want me to take? And then we should wait for the answer. Sometimes we're not good at that. We're not good at that at all. When you're faced with an obstacle, you don't jump to the wrong conclusion. You see, God's in charge of everything. God's sovereign. He's sovereign all the time. Don't give up. Don't assume that it's impossible, because nothing is impossible with God. Know that God wants you to get through the obstacle. God wants us to overcome obstacles. And we'll go a little more into that in just a moment. But God uses these obstacles for his purposes. So start listening for his instructions on how to proceed. I want us to look at a couple of pieces. One is the miracle. That's God's part. You already know what happened to the Israelites. We know the end of the story. The waters of the Jordan opened up and they were able to walk across the river, or the raged, flooded area. They experienced the supernatural touch of God. A miracle. That's what we call that. They experienced God making all things work together, right? Work together for good. That's what they experienced. Because that's who he is. That's what he does. That's his promise. He's done it before. He'll do it again. He's done it for others. He'll do it for us. Remember that little saying? Look at this story and see how God led his people to overcome the obstacle. And the first thing he told them is he said, okay, get ready. Get yourself ready. Verse 5, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. And Joshua was saying to the folks, get ready, people, get ready. There's a miracle coming. You know, think about what you're facing. Think about what we face as a church. Think about the obstacles that we're facing as a country. Get ready. There's a miracle coming. Get ready. So how do you get ready? Well, you consecrate yourself. Some versions say sanctify yourself. Set yourself apart from the clutter of the world and from the distractions that keep you apart from God, from hearing God, from knowing it is God talking. Set yourself apart for Him to fulfill His purpose in your life. That's exactly what Joshua was saying. It's like Isaiah said, here I am, Lord. Use me. Take me. Put yourself in a position where God can bless you. You know, so often we don't. We run and hide. And you know, most of us have heard the expression, you build it and they will come. You know, it comes out of that Field of Dreams movie back many years ago where Kevin Costner was a farmer facing bankruptcy in Iowa, and he somehow got this vision or crazy thought in his mind. Everybody thought he was crazy for sure, that if he would build this baseball diamond in the middle of his cornfield, that Shoeless Joe Jackson, most people here old enough know about that, Shoeless Joe Jackson was going to come and play in his ball field. And that was his idol. That was his idol. So he built the field. And the idea is that he would build the field first, and when the field was ready, then the impossible would happen. Old Shoeless Joe would show up. And, you know, we sometimes want it the other way around. We want Shoeless Joe to come first, and then we'll build the field, right? We want for all the church to get full, and then we'll figure out how we're going to deal with all of that. We want all these things to happen, and then we'll decide, okay, what are we going to do about all these things now that God has placed in front of us? We say, God, bring the blessing now, and then we'll get serious about doing your will. You know, send financial abundance now, and then I'll figure out how to balance checkbook. You know, doesn't work that way. If you want to experience God's blessings in your life, you've got to get ready to receive them. You've got to get in a place where you can position yourself for a miracle. And that isn't something that you do in the natural particularly, although it has natural consequences. But how do you position yourself? How do you get yourself close to God? Well, you get in His Word. You spend some time in prayer. You get to know God, because He's the author of that miracle you're going to have. If you don't know God, you're never going to know where He's going or what He's doing, and you're not going to be where He wants you to be to receive the blessing. If you prepare, He will provide. As you look at that obstacle that stands between you and the dreams that God has placed in your life, ask yourself, what do I need to do to prepare myself for God's solution for my problem? Whatever the problem. How do I prepare myself? What steps should I take? Is my heart right? Are my motives pure? Is there sin that I need to deal with? Not something you need to dig and try to discover. It's something you already know. It's that nagging little thing that's been bugging you. Deal with it. Get ready. Are you doing all you can do in the natural to prepare for God's blessing? If you're making the effort, then get ready for God to do the supernatural. That's what He does. The second way that God leads His people to overcome their obstacle was to tell them to get their feet wet. So get yourself prepared, get yourself ready, and then get your feet wet. Look at verse 8. Tell the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant, when you reach the edge of the Jordan's waters, go stand in the river. Now, he didn't tell them to cross the river. He told them to go stand in the river. Skip down to verse 13, where Joshua is talking to the Israelites. In verse 13, he says, as soon as the priests who carried the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, set foot in the Jordan, its water stopped flowing downstream. They will be cut off and stand up in a heap. I like that, stand up in a heap. On down to verse 15. And now the Jordan is at flood stage all during the harvest. Yet as soon as the priest who carried the ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. Now that's a miracle. That's a miracle. God had the leaders of the Israelites take those first few steps into the river before the water parted. It's like he was saying, don't just stand there hoping and doing little. Start moving forward. Start thinking about where I am going and where I want you to go. You know, once you commit to doing something and start moving in God's direction, things come your way. They do. And things come your way that you couldn't have anticipated. Sometimes you see them as other obstacles, but no, they're further lessons to take you a little closer to where God wants you to be. Doors open that you didn't even expect. Resources show up that you didn't even know were available. The key is taking that first step. The key is to get our feet wet. I'm guessing that when Joshua told the people of Israel this complicated strategic plan, that they looked at him and said, you've got to be kidding me. Oh, poor Joshua, he's lost his brain. Nothing spiritual about that. I can hear it. Couldn't you hear that? I mean, that sounds crazy, doesn't it? These are the kinds of self-defeating questions that we got to avoid, for sure. Here's what I've learned, and I'm speaking from experience. If God is leading us to the other side, when you take steps into the water will eventually begin to part. Maybe not happen all at once every time, but it will eventually begin to part. So take the steps that you can take. If you're facing a mountain of debt, pray. Trim your expenses. Do what you can. Start selling the junk in the attic, in the basement. Do this while you're waiting for the water to part. If you're struggling with your health, then pray. Listen to what the doctor says. Lose weight, whatever. Eat right, whatever they tell you. More exercise. Take those first steps toward better health until the waters part. You get the gist of it? If it's a relationship that we're in, then, you know, maybe with our children or with our husband or wife, maybe it's marked with a sense of anger and resentment. We've all had problems in families. Take the first step. Give the relationship to God. And then take whatever steps you can toward healing while you wait for the water to part. When you begin to move in God's direction, when we as a church move in God's direction, then He moves in our direction. That's a promise of Scripture right out of James. Draw close to God, and God will draw close to you. A third truth out of this passage is make sure you get behind the right people. Early in the chapters, the Israelites were told, and look at verse 2 and 4, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests who are Levites carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. Then down in verse 14, so when the people broke camp to cross the Jordan, the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. And as a result, in verse 16 and 17, so the people crossed over opposite Jericho. The priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stopped in the middle of the Jordan and stood on dry ground while all Israel passed until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry ground. I love that. dry ground. I've had more stories than you can imagine. You've probably heard a few too, how people postulate on how this possibly could have happened. Up around this little town we talked about earlier in this passage, they said, well, there was a landslide, you know, and it blocked the Jordan temporarily. And the water quit flowing down. That's a great story. Great story. And God can use landslides to perform his miracles, no doubt about it. But there's an element in this story that seems to be emphasized here two or three times. It's a little three-letter word called dry. That water can stop up. How did that place get dry? Yeah, it's like God saying, yeah, I know. There's going to be all kinds of wise guys that come along and try to figure this out. But it's not natural. No, this is supernatural. It's supernatural. And there's a purpose for it. There's a purpose for it. Dry ground. God's saying in this passage that if you're facing an obstacle, you need to make sure you're in line with the right people. You're following the right people. What were they following? They were following the priests, the Levites. They were following the chosen of God's spiritual leaders. And they were following the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark. You got to see that even all the way through. The Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. That was what the priests were carrying. That's what they were following. And we got to follow God. We got to stay close to God. That's what this is all about. Who you're with determines, to a large extent, which direction you're going to go. So you make sure you surround yourself with the right people. We tell that to our kids all the time, don't we? No, you're running with the wrong crowd. Got to make sure you run with the right crowd. Well, it's true for us. It's true for everybody. We got to run with the right crowd. We got to run with God. We got to be following behind that Ark of the Covenant, his presence, his truth. The Bible says, plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors they succeed, right out of Proverbs 15. We don't want to be a lack of good counselors. If you're facing an obstacle and you need a miracle, you can't make it happen on your own. But you can nurture an atmosphere where God is free to move and God is free to do the supernatural. You can get yourself ready by purifying your heart and your motives. You consecrate yourself, sanctify yourself, set yourself apart and focus on God. You can get your feet wet by taking that first step into God's promise, by being just a little bolder. Go one more step past all the light that you have. Get behind the right people who can help you chart the direction that you need to go. God desires for you and God desires for me to live the fullness of his presence, to experience the fullness of his blessing. We've become so jaded in our life that we don't expect God to do big things. We don't expect God to really bless us. Oh, we have dreams. We have visions. We wish, have lots of wishes. What if all those wishes that you have, what if all those dreams you have for your own life and for the life of our church were truly God's plan? Was what God wanted too. And see, what makes sense then is we should join ourselves together here. We should be pulling in the same plan. And how much courage and how much encouragement, knowing that it's God's plan too. You know, God, the supernatural God, who can make it happen? It's his plan too. How much encouragement that would give to us in our own personal life and in our life as a church. God will supernaturally change these obstacles for his purpose and for our blessing. One thing I don't want to leave out, another aspect to the story that I want you to see, the spectacle. As God does what God does to make it possible for us to enter into his promised land, that's what he does, to realize his promises in our life, Our faith is being strengthened, and the world is watching. Do you know that? Little pitchers have big ears. You ever say that? The world is watching. But more than that, God is being glorified. That's what they're seeing. The obstacle of the Jordan River provided an opportunity for the display of God's power and greatness and glory, that He is truly God. I hope it doesn't come as a total surprise, but that's why we're here. We're here to glorify God. I mean, if you were a little youngin' in the early days in a Presbyterian system, you learned the first catechism, you know, to enjoy God, to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. Better get them right, huh? To glorify God and enjoy Him forever. If the cart isn't behind the horse, it won't work that way. So I got to get it right. You got to glorify Him and enjoy Him. But that's our purpose. The chief end of man. The obstacles of the Jordan River provided an opportunity for this. Look at verse 10 and 11. This is how you will know, okay, that the living God is among you, and that He will certainly drive out before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Jebusites. Behold, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth is passing over you before the Jordan. And then it happened. And everyone knew it happened. You think those folks in Jericho didn't know this river dried up? They were hoping, they were thinking they were secure, big time, you know, behind a flooded, raging river. And they had a season of that. So it would be a while before we had to deal with that horde that Rahab was talking about being so fearful in the hearts and minds of the people of Jericho. Because they had seen and heard about the Red Sea parting. They had heard about the conquests that the people of Israel had made as they crossed the wilderness. They had heard, and they were terrified. And now, right out their door, they knew. And they were probably certainly terrified as well. Because this God is the real God. This God is just as Rahab said, the Lord is truly God. Yahweh is truly God. He will take us from our desert places into promised land. It's a testimony. It's our testimony. Be the testimony of our church when God is lifted up and glorified. And that's why He does miracles. Not only yesterday, it's why He does miracles today. So God can be glorified and lifted up. And lifted up. Our obstacles should serve that same purpose every day. And I pray that for your life and my life, as we live it, it will reveal that truth. That our life together as First EPC will reveal that truth. And God will be lifted up. That as we stay focused on the Lord and in the midst of the obstacles we face, obediently and faithfully following Him, so that the community around us, and indeed the world around us, will witness God taking us into His promised land. God has great plans for us all, bigger than we do, bigger than we do. Thank God He can take us there. He can give us the reward of our faith. He can give us the purpose of His choosing, His calling us, all for His glory. All for His glory. Let's pray together.